Hey, y'all, how we doing? Shout out to Bear Nation for tuning in for another episode of the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship, a podcast for the entrepreneur-minded, created by entrepreneurs, discussing the real stories that give you the tools to overcome challenges and stay true to your real self. As always, I want to give a shout out to our partners over at Finn. Finn is a social good platform that creates employee engagement and builds culture. We've teamed up with Finn to give back to the communities that we serve. For every episode, we will be donating $10 to the cause of choosing by our guest in the Finn platform. Enjoy today's episode. Hi, y'all. We're back once again for another episode of the Bare Necessities of Entrepreneurship podcast. And today is kind of a nice one for those that are watching this on YouTube. You will probably notice that I get to have my guest in real life in my apartment in Brooklyn, New York. So an exciting day. Taylor, say hello.
What's going on, guys?
So Taylor is not only an entrepreneur in New York City, but a really good friend of mine. And we actually met through my business partner from Happy Day Group, Phil DeVecchio. And I thought it'd be great as we look at the end of the year, it's December, to really talk about entrepreneurial mindset. And we talk a lot about millennials and Gen Z, and it's great because Taylor is, I'd say, very young millennial, old Gen Z, hybrid era entrepreneur who has an incredible story of how he came to New York, why, and how, to be honest, regular life didn't suit him. Regular corporate jobs didn't suit him. And so at a very early age, trying to figure it the fuck out in New York, decides to start a creative studio. So as that lead in, Taylor, why don't you just kind of give us a quick background on who you are and what you do?
Yeah. So thank you so much for having me, Rob. It's a really interesting time right now. I feel like there's so many different avenues for people to jump into career. For me, I started out in college. I didn't really find my footing in school. I lasted like a semester. And then I ended up finding my way into kind of a bottom of the rung job in New York City, doing the bunch of Microsoft Excel and all that good stuff. And well, I wasn't in love with that, but that's what got me to the city. And after about 10 months, I kind of took the jump and just fell fully in love with video production as a career. And for the last 4 years, have been doing, or it'll be 4 years in February, I'll be doing video production in New York City.
4 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
So it's been quite a journey, and I'm starting a new chapter right now of kind of doing some YouTube content and all that fun stuff. So very, very exciting.
All right. So been in New York 4 years now, went to college, realized it didn't work. So why did you start an agency? What made you think, sure, I can fucking do this, I'm just going to start my own creative thing? Tell me a little bit about the mindset or the decision behind that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's funny. I think there's a lot of marketing, I think marketing ourselves, that goes into starting anything that we do, you know. And it starts as just us having an idea that we want to make something and find a way to get people to pay us for it. And then it kind of grows. And, you know, agency is very kind. It's literally just been me, and whenever I can hire some of my friends on to help out on projects, like, that's what I've been doing. But I think for me, this has been my dream, has been to find a way to do something I like, and find a way to make money off of that. Like, what a blessing to be able to do that full time. But yeah, I mean, I think it started when I look back, I see the path of me like talking to a camera at age 5, and seeing those videos and not even connecting the dots until the past couple of years. I'm like, oh yeah, I clearly was fascinated with this and was good at, or at least enjoyed this deeply. And I think, you know, something that's been a blessing and a curse for me is I am very impatient, which means that if I'm in a situation that I am not a fan of, I just leave in terms of my work thing. Yeah. So in school, like, I felt it in my gut. I was like, I'm not learning.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not learning, and I'm definitely not learning what I want.
Yeah.
And then with my first job in New York, I was getting paid pennies.
Yeah.
Like, and, you know, right? Everybody does that when you start in New York and living in a, you know, tin can, way down the L train, Wilson Ave. And, Yeah, so I feel like I realized how in love with it I was,
yeah.
And that kind of drove me to full pursuit.
Interesting
full-time.
That you're impatient, but yet you edit videos that take 10 hours that you posted on a YouTube video the other day.
Have to love it.
So you came to New York, and for the listeners out there, you know, when I actually first met Taylor, was connected via a phone call. I was working as a recruiter at the time. And our mutual friend, Phil, had connected us to say, hey, you should talk to him. He's looking to make a change. He just moved out here. He's working for a company. And it wasn't a great call. Very, you know, arrogant about what he wanted. I wouldn't say arrogant. Very, I would say kind of arrogant. Knew, you know, Taylor knew his worth and knew what he wanted to do. And the biggest thing out of the call was that the market wasn't ready for you to be an employee, and maybe still isn't ready for you to be an employee. And so it's very clear to me then that you should start your own thing. And you've done that for the last 4 years. You've grown, you've learned a lot of lessons. What's been one of the hardest things you've had to learn about working for yourself and running a business the last 4 years?
Mm. Well, thanks for the compliment there. I think there's a, you know, in talking with a lot of people who have started their own business or people who have kind of jumped into their own career, whether it's their content creator or they're just, you know, someone who's figured out a way to make money on their own, you know, there's a level, I think, of self-belief that is you always toe the line, I think, between coming across like you're super full of yourself or being super humble, because there is... And, you know, I definitely have bounced between both spectrums as I've learned myself. But I think a big piece of it is, you know, you got to believe that somehow you could do it when no one else could.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, it takes some level of self-ego, I think, to at least accomplish that. But yeah, I mean, I think that as an element is something that has taken like many years to find the balance, but also just build as I became more and more confident in my work. Mm-hmm. And I think... that just comes from time.
Yeah.
Like just putting in, you know, I am currently on kind of this creation binge where I'm really just going full out in terms of my personal content and my personal brand. And it's the same way when you're starting to build that kind of confidence and sense of self, putting numbers on the board more than anything.
Yeah.
Shooting photos, creating videos and posting that, just getting it out to where you can have something on paper that says, I can do this.
Yeah.
You know,
Michael Gladwell's 10,000 hours, right?
Like, absolutely.
Mastery. But I love that you said one of the hardest things is balancing. And this is something that we see today in a world of content creators, in a world of influencers. And you know, I've talked about this probably ad nauseum, but I wrote a book about showing your true social soul online, your authentic self, because I think we have enough influencers and content creators. And with this influx of content on the market, it's loud, it's noisy. So you have to kind of show that a little bit of ego to stand out. But then you also have to find that balance of being humble, as you said. So I really appreciate you sharing that, because it is a hard line to do. Four years ago was tough when you were just putting numbers on the board. Now where we are today, it's tough because it's so loud in the market that you have to kind of stand out. And I think there's a fine balance. And there's days that I feel that I'm bragging too much. There's days that I have imposter syndrome. There's all these things. It's really hard. And when you're a small team of one to four or five, validation's tough to come by.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of up and down. So, you know, we talk about this world of video production. What are some of the things that you love to do when you were like going through this transition of you as a creative and learning about what you did and didn't like? Tell me a little bit about kind of how your process of discovery of, I really fell in love in these things and this is what I'm good at.
Yeah. I mean, well, you know, what's funny looking back is I always enjoyed making videos, not films.
Mm-hmm.
And when, you know, I was a kid, I thought that was maybe immaturity in the sense of I didn't really fully know how to do this.
Yeah.
That's why I want to do this. But as I've kind of grown as a creative and like tried out a bunch of things, I've realized that like I've always wanted to only just make videos. You know, I think even when I was you know, in film school, like we're learning about the process of a film set and kind of how that entire company organization comes together to make a film.
Yeah.
And I had this just sour taste in my mouth from the jump in film school of that thing. And I've kind of come around full circle and I have a lot of appreciation for it now, but you know, for me, it felt like arbitrage. Yeah. And there's still elements of it that I think, you know, are difficult and somewhat exclusionary. So I found videos and now have, inside of that, have been continuing to define what I like to make. Straight out of the job in 2018, I was super into vertical video, feeling like, I wanted to just make anything vertical.
Yeah.
And hindsight, probably should have kept doing that longer as this transition grew massive. But, that was the beginning. And now it's kind of dived fully into what my interests are, which is tech and filmmaking.
Yeah.
And so now I'm kind of honing in on the exact things I want to make videos about. But, at first it was just, how do I make money?
Yeah.
And that has consistently evolved. Yeah.
So, you know, one of the things I love and we've talked a lot about is this new age content creation platforms like TikTok and Instagram Reels and, a lot of short, you do animated graphics and things like that. So tell me a little about the power of social and content creation and, you know, you having a background in doing this professionally versus, you know, the people listening at home. It's like, I want to do things, but you know, I don't have all the tools and bells and whistles. So talk to us about the creator mindset as you're kind of on your creative content journey of, well, of course you're a creative, you have all the tools, you know how to do all those things versus, you know, somebody out there who's going on their own different creative journey. Talk a little bit about that journey for me and kind of, we'll just get into it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, to start, I think creating now is easier than it's ever been. Mm-hmm. If you have access to a phone, you have access to more, the same creative tools that some of the biggest creators on these platforms are using.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok especially. I mean, you've got creators with a million followers that have started with, are currently, and will only be using their phone for the next 5 years making content. And they are making a full-time living making videos on the internet with their phone. Yeah, with their phone. And so, you know, I think, you know, now more than ever, I've been convincing people to be like, what's interesting about what you're doing is interesting to other people. And it requires zero filmmaking knowledge and very little video ability beyond pressing record to share that and kind of have your personal brand. I mean, I think the biggest mistake that any of us make on social media is trying to craft it.
Mm-hmm.
And despite TikTok being, you know, feeling so foreign to a lot of people, I believe it's one of the most raw social platforms right now. And I believe that it's changing what it means to be on social media. I mean, obviously it's, you know, highly addictive and you can get sucked in easily. But for me, that's because you have more people being authentic on TikTok than have ever been on Instagram. You go on Instagram, it's everyone posing pretty photos. You know, it's all perfect. It's all crafted. And I think people are tired of that. And so you go on TikTok and you see the person just hitting record, speaking their mind for 10 seconds or putting in a fact of life for them or showing them on the job.
Yeah.
They work in an oil field and you've never seen that.
Yeah.
So, wow, what an interesting part of life that you're now exposed to. You know, for me, I think being a creator now more than ever is just continuing to kind of peel off the layers to like, what do I like?
Yeah.
And once you find that, I think it's easy.
Well, I think, that's what I think the beautiful thing about Instagram Reels and TikTok and why the whole video movement has pulled back. This layer, this veil of perfection. And you don't have to be perfect. I think that's one of the things that I talk a lot about is everyone wants to be perfect, the perfect shot, the perfect video, the perfect editing, but how the fuck do you know what perfect is if you haven't failed? And so it's easy to be perfect in a photo, right? You can Photoshop this, boom, 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 all those things. And a video is harder to do, which is awesome. But when it comes to the world of Reels and TikToks, we see this a lot and everyone's like, oh, trends, you know, and you know, everyone on TikTok's like, if you want to grow TikTok from 1 to 258,000 in 30 days, you got to follow all the trends and stuff. And while that's valuable, and that's one way to create and get noticed, that's not being authentically you. And what you just talked about is be you, create content for you and your small group. The goal is not to go viral and have millions of followers. The goal is to create great content. And as you create great content, you create a following. And as that following becomes engaged, it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think that's really important because so many people are like, well, these trends, I need to do all the trends. And yeah, you can grow a TikTok with all your trends, but then that's all you're known for. So then when you try to start talking about something you actually love to talk about, people stop following you and stop tuning in because they followed you for these funny dance moves when you actually want to be over here. So it's important, I think, to your point, to create content, as you said, that matters to you, to peel back those layers and share that with the world.
Yeah. And I mean, listen, you have to have fun with it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I think with Instagram and all these social platforms, I think everyone has felt the need to kind of like gear up and have it be this big production.
Yeah.
And like, that's not TikTok. And it's not a lot, and it's not Reels. And to be honest, it's not the next generation of content creation beyond like YouTube and some of the more produced stuff. It's going to be just like, it's just really raw you. So have fun. Yeah. If you like doing trends, boom, do trends and be fun. And just remember at the end of the day, like, just people on the other end, the same as you, just like wanting to just have a blast.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, I had a conversation yesterday that was all about the financial side of TikTok.
Yeah.
And at the end of the conversation, I was like, listen, this is great. And there is financial opportunity on this down the road. But at the end of the day, if that's the goal, you're never going to find any traction on these platforms. Because if you're not able to just have fun, have a conversation, talk with people, engage, and just be present on the platform and be in that kind of audience host relationship, and it's a money play, it's never going to work.
Yeah. I think, you know, I've talked to plenty of people about things. Like, you know, I'm in the opinion you can monetize anything. If you are good at something and people enjoy it, you can monetize it. But a lot of people, especially in the podcast content world, they're like, I want to start a YouTube channel or a podcast or a TikTok to make money off of it. And when you start with making money as the impetus of it, you lose the authenticity.
Yes.
Versus if you do something really well and you look, you say, I can do this well, this is what I love to do, how do I monetize it? And you start monetizing it as you grow and go. It's a very different mindset because that's authenticity into money versus I'm starting something for money because I want to start TikTok today for money. As a content creator, I should just do a bunch of dance trends so that I can get a million likes and followers so I can be in the content creator community. Cool, but that's not what I care about. People don't want to see me. They might want to see me dancing every once in a while because it'd be funny as shit, probably. But you know, I'm not that kind of person you want to see dancing ever.
I need to see some Rob dancing videos. Y'all heard it here first.
Rob will be dancing.
All
you need to do is get me drunk at a wedding.
There you go.
So, I'll, you know, we're going to kind of transition over. You know, we're talking about social and content. And, you know, this is a thing that a lot of people care about. They want to know more about content. They don't know where to turn and ask. And so I love this stuff. But you've done something recently. Where you've really taken a step back from client work, right? And this is hard for somebody to do is say, I'm going to take a month where I step back from my client work, time and place allowed, and step into exploration mode of your content. So talk about that moment, because as an entrepreneur, you know, the one thing you said earlier is I'm here, I should figure out how to make money doing what I love. And you and I have had a lot of conversations. The way I wanted to bring you on the show is we talked about you falling out of love a little bit with some of the stuff that you were doing and needing to take a step back to go forward. So I want to talk about that moment and where you're at with that process and, you know, why that came to being as an entrepreneur.
Yeah. I mean, listen, like, I think anyone who's done anything for X amount of time can get bored of it. Mm-hmm. And I think even with something as cool as making content full time, like there was, you know, there's been moments where I've been falling out of love with the work. And listen, like, I've been super thankful for some of the, I like all my clients have been incredible and it's been a blast working with them. But I mean, you know, I think for me, what I've realized is I've been renting, not buying the kind of the life that I want. Like, I really enjoy making videos. So I've been renting the lifestyle of being a full-time video creator by working with clients that have been, you know, incredible enough to trust in me.
Yeah.
But for me, what I truly want, and I think what I've been realizing, is I truly want to make content for myself mm-hmm. and be able to tell my own stories yeah. with no filter, with no approval. Not to say that I'm not at all grateful for the work that I've had the last 3 years and change, but more so I'm excited yeah. for the next chapter of like, I'm currently, yeah, just exploring. I'm making videos on YouTube. I'm making videos on Instagram, which is such a weird step back from building this business that I've been doing. But, you know, a massive part of it for me is being like, where do I want to see myself in 5 years?
Yeah.
Do I want to see myself continuing to work? Everyone's been asking me, you know, do you want to continue to grow an agency? Do you want to be an employee? Like, where do you want to work? And I've been having conversations where people have been directing me to different positions. And they're like, oh, hey, this would be great for you. That would be great for you. And they all would be. But at the end of the day, I kind of had to go super internally deep. Like, you know, that's a Raven. Like, and then go all the way in.
And that's how you know you're a millennial.
Yeah, well, no.
That's a Raven.
For sure, yes. That's a Raven moment.
If you were a Gen Z, you would not know what that's a Raven is.
Yeah, the effect YouTube that. And... you know, kind of going into that moment and being like, well, what do I deeply, truly want with my life? Mm-hmm. You know, ignoring the risk, ignoring the money, because none of it makes sense. It's mm-hmm. a ridiculous idea. But just, and really, truly being like, you know, like, what do I want?
Yeah.
What do I enjoy doing?
So I think that's really important because one of the biggest lessons that I've learned, and it's still hard for me to do, is that saying no to money, the wrong type of opportunities, actually opens the door for saying yes to the right opportunities, usually bigger projects, bigger clout, bigger payouts, etc. And we're so ingrained to chase the dollar that we chase the dollar. And when you stop chasing the dollar and start really chasing the right opportunities and passions, the dollar follows. And I truly believe that. And I've seen that happen in my own career. And, you know, I've kind of gone through a similar exploration of things that I like. And, you know, 2021 for me was all about finding out things more that I didn't like than I did like in what I was doing with my career. In fact, 2022 Rise Up Coaching is going to look a little bit different. And I'm sure it'll be like that in 2023 as I grow more. And so I think the lesson you just shared of you needing to take a step back and really evaluate, because you are good at a lot of things and there is a lot of opportunity out there for you. But
appreciate that.
That doesn't mean anything if it's not exciting and it's not appealing. And so for many people out there, we struggle with this, especially entrepreneurs who I have all these skills and I want to, you know, consult and do these things, but you miss being a part of a team, you miss being part of this, and you miss being part of that. And so it's really important to have self-awareness and take that step back. So I know we're getting close to time here, but I really want to talk to you. You've been creating a lot of content across different platforms. You started a new YouTube channel. Let's talk about that. What is the idea behind Uncaffeinated?
Yes.
Let's talk about that for a sec.
So Uncaffeinated is the name of the channel that I've just started. It started as an idea, which is I was struggling to make videos. Mm-hmm. Like I, you know, despite all of this, all these tools and all, you know, cameras and laptops and microphones, and I had all the tools to do things, but I wasn't feel like I wanted to make something.
Yeah.
And so the challenge was, I drink coffee every morning or some kind of caffeine. The challenge was, I don't get caffeine until I shoot the video. And I get the caffeine when I sit down to edit. Mm-hmm. And when I'm actually cheating this morning, I got some tea. I'm not doing full coffee, but I noticed
you got tea this morning instead.
Right, yeah. But, you know, for me, it was this feeling of I need to make something or die trying. I need to create circumstances where I'm forced to create. Not because it's something I don't like doing, but rather because there's so many distractions in this world, especially in New York, that if I don't create a scenario where I'm driven to do something, even if I like it, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us see that in our own lives. Like we have things that we want to do short term or long term that we want to do, but don't get around to doing because of distractions. Mm-hmm. So for me, Uncaffeinated was at first like a challenge. It was an idea and then a challenge for myself. How can I create a scenario where I'm forced to create, and not because I don't like it, but because it's something that I want to do and have not been doing?
Yeah.
And so it kind of evolved a little bit where it was like vlogs, very typical YouTuber stuff, me doing day in the life. And then over the last maybe 2 or 3 weeks, I've kind of found what I want to talk about, which is filmmaking and technology. Mm-hmm. Those are two things that I've always been passionate about. Mm-hmm. And funny enough, I stopped doing the challenge for a while because I was like, nah, I was like so busy. So with the daily vlog, I was so caught up in it. I would just drink a bunch of coffee. And now 2 or 3 weeks in, I'm back to doing the challenge because I fell off a little bit where not fell off like I wasn't doing the work, but fell off like I was slower mm-hmm. because I didn't have the motivation anymore. Mm-hmm. So it actually has continued to, its ideology has continued to become necessary. And now there's a headline, tech and filmmaking without the buzz, like true, raw tech and filmmaking stuff, which is uncaffeinated, but also it's still, you know, at its core ideology that helps me create. Yeah. So
I like that. And I think that's really cool. I mean, and I appreciate you kind of sharing this journey because there's kind of two schools of thoughts out there, right, when it comes to content creation. And I've seen them both, and I've had conversations with people on both sides of the fence of, you know, if you want to grow Instagram or you want to grow TikTok, you need to post 4 times a day, every day. And yes, that's true. Like, that helps grow. But then there's the other side that if you're creating content just to create content, it's just contributing to the clutter, right? And both are valid arguments. And it comes down to, as you go through this, whatever challenge you put in place or what your goals are, it's important to think about why are you doing it and what is the outcome, right? And for you, shooting a video every day, it's a passion, it's a project. Even if you don't love it, you know you have things that you want to talk about, you script out, you plan out. It's important for you to get that out there. And you need that kind of challenge to help you do it because we do get distracted. And so for those out there, you know, and I've talked to plenty of people in the ecosystem about growing your personal brand and these things. Whatever you choose to do, the biggest thing is just do it, right? However that is, that's authentically you and being your real self. That is what wins across all content platforms all the time. And so I love that you have these challenges. And in fact, one of the things that I've been challenging myself to do is, you know, I've been scripting out tons of content for weeks at a time and trying to do just one organic, authentic thing a day that is just like sit down, whip it out, have an idea and create in a moment, right? Because for me, I create every Friday. Like I have an hour of creative time. I create 5 reels, 5 TikToks, all the things, and I love it. And that's what I'm really good because I need to mentally prepare for that and I can. But trying to do one authentic creation a day has been tough. It's been really tough.
It is tough.
We're on, what is today? December, it's the 8th. I think I'm 5 out of 8.
Let's go.
Which is, I think,
it's a great record
way
so
better
far
than I expect it to be.
Yeah, let's go. I'm very proud. Time.
So, you know, those are things that I think super important is that you got to push yourself to be uncomfortable because, you know, cliche, just outside of your comfort zone is where the amazing things happen. So whatever your journey is, don't be afraid to get uncomfortable. And I love this YouTube stuff that you're doing. In fact, you and I have talked about it. I haven't told my audience, and I haven't quite decided on this yet, but my thought is doing, you know, I have the podcast show is also to do a YouTube short series interviewing founders called, I thought about Highly Caffeinated, but I think it's going to be Unfiltered.
Okay. You can do either. I got no copyright, so by all means, build your brand.
No, but also I didn't want it to only be caffeine because I wanted to be able to take somebody out for a whiskey instead. And the idea is that it's 10-minute conversations with founders as they come through the U.S. market, mostly interviewing people that are not like locally here.
I love that.
As they come in through programs. And it won't be edited. It'll be 10 minutes. It'll be shot and, you know, put on YouTube.
That's
channel,
awesome.
As a way to, you know, share more stories and more content and then develop that into further stuff. So we'll see. I'm excited because 2022, I really want to take on my next step of the content journey, which I know you and I have talked a lot about. So that's why I love to have this, you know, this episode and have you on talking about your journey and your challenges, because I think it's really easy for us to be like, oh, you know, on the outside looking in, like for those that don't know, Taylor, aka TK, is doing some really cool things, has amazing skills, but you know, you never know what people are going through and what challenges they face in terms of their own exploration to honing the craft, right? It's really Absolutely. Easy for us to, and even myself, to get complacent with our skills. right? And, you know, as I listen to this episode and think about it and thought back to our conversations, those that follow me on Instagram know that we have a weekly businessy meeting every Wednesday morning over coffee, is that it's not so much that you're unsure of yourself. It's more that you need to take a step back to hone your craft and really find where those gaps are so that you can continue to grow them and then take that to the market in a new way or a fresh way or with fresh eyes versus getting into the drum of the same things, the same one or two things that you know you're good at, that people hire you for when you really want to expand your range. That is a scary fucking thing to do. And so I love that you're doing it and totally support kind of that. And those out there listening, understand that if you really want to develop personally, no one is going to fucking invest in you except for you. And unless you take a step back and say, I want to hone this area of my craft, or I want to learn this thing, or I want to do these things, if you're not willing to step back and do that, it's never going to happen. Right? There's two types of motivation, internal and external. External will get you excited, get you jump-started. But external dies out. This is why everyone gets so excited for like first of the year, I'm going to lose weight. They need external motivation. External motivation does not carry you further. Internal motivation does. If you don't have that internal motivation, you'll never make it. So let this episode, let TK be an external motivator to light your fire, but you got to take it internally and drive it forward, as TK's done this last month to really hone his craft and create his content. I asked three questions. At the end of the show, I always ask three questions. What is your superpower?
I feel like my superpower is being able to encourage others. Mm-hmm. Like something that I really take it to heart is like I've been building my network in New York for the last couple of years, and I believe that everybody mm-hmm. has the one thing that they love that they're meant to do. Mm-hmm. And so a big piece of what I get a lot of joy from, but also like that I believe is something that I try and that I'm unique with, is I just want to like encourage people to do their thing.
Yeah.
And whenever I meet someone, my first thing is, what do you like to do? And my goal is to like try and get them to jump off the ledge. Like I want to encourage them to jump off the ledge. Like, well, you want to make cupcakes? That's cool. Like you can make a business out of that. Have you thought about that? Like, so, you know, in encouragement, but also like, in a very weird way, like just like genuine interest in people, random people I've never met. So encouragement, curiosity, into other people.
Yeah. It really, that creates engagement, and then engagement creates tons of opportunity. What advice would you have for, you know, whether it's Gen Z, millennial, or anyone who wants to be an entrepreneur today, what would your advice be to them be?
So there's this, and I'll keep this short. There's a theory that me and some friends have, and it's called glass or air. Mm-hmm. And it's this theory that we're in kind of a glass box with our decisions. And there's, you know, there's four sides to the glass box. And one way is clear. If we jump through there, that's air. We soar through. We're supposed to go that way. The glass, you know, if we jump in those directions, we slam a la New York City pigeon into the glass. And that's where we're not supposed to go. And for me, what I've realized in my own life is that I need to be not a better decision maker, because there's 100,000 decisions every day that I could sit on for 2 weeks and never make. I need to be a better jumper. I will find out which direction is for me when I jump,
yeah.
but only when I jump, and no sooner. Mm-hmm. I can't sit in the middle of the box and see whether it's glass or air, because turns out from the distance, it's hard to see. You don't know.
Yeah.
So you can sit there looking at the decisions forever, or you can jump and trust that if the path is for you, it's for you. And if it's not, you're going to find out really quick. Mm. And so for me, what I've been trying to do is, instead of being a better decision maker, I want to be a better jumper. Mm-hmm. Where I see an opportunity that feels like it's for me, I'm going to jump at it. And whether it turns out good or not, I know that I was at least supposed to go that way. And that has dramatically changed kind of how I operate day to day.
Yeah, I love that. Again, coming back to how can you know what perfection is until you fail? How do you know if something's right or not until you do it? Right?
Absolutely.
I love that. I mean, to me, that's just great advice, always. You have any lasting message for the listeners out there, Baird Nation, today?
I'm gonna stick with the glass here. I think, you know, jump, man. You know, I think there's, we don't have that much time. in this life, you know, relative, like, you know, the only difference between you and someone doing what you want to do is they took the risk, mm-hmm. you know? I think creativity, I think, you know, jumping into that world that you want to be a part of is a choice. I don't think it's as much kind of, luck and chance as people make it out to be. And so I think, you know, for me, what I'm doing is I'm kind of, you know, putting my money where my mouth is on this YouTube stuff and saying, okay, I'm going to actually take a step back and find a way to make money in this new thing that I'm super unsure of. And I think as you, in a weird way, financially, in some way, commit to your passion by either, you know, stepping back somewhat from the thing you're doing and creating time in your day to do this other thing, I think what you'll realize is that, you know, the universe, the people around you see that as a sign that you're choosing to do what you want to do for money. And I think it always works out.
I love that. I mean, you said something about luck and chance. And what people have to realize is, you know, luck is where opportunity meets preparation. Luck is spontaneous. And yes, we all need a little bit of luck. But when you jump and you make things happen, that's where, like, luckiness comes from. It's because you're... Luckiness never goes after the person that sits and hides. Luck happens to those that take chances. So jump, take chances, take risks, go after your craveness, right? Go after and explore what you want to be. Well, Taylor, awesome. Thank you for coming by. Let us know, how do we follow you? I'll give all the links, but what is, you know, you have the... Uncaffeinated channel on YouTube. Where else can they follow you at?
Yeah, so on YouTube, it's Uncaffeinated, un-caffeinated, and making videos 3 or 4 times a week on there. Also, my Instagram, TK3, that's TKTHREE, posting a lot over there. And TikTok is the same username, TKTHREE.
Awesome. Well, I'll make sure to have all those links down in the comments of this episode so you can go check out his content. Hit him up if you have any questions. You know, also, I know, you know, he's in his own exploration journey, but I have a lot of founders and entrepreneurs listening in that are looking for help in these different areas. You know, hit TK up, as he has a lot of, if he can't help you, he knows all the right people that can on the content side. So,
absolutely.
TK, thank you again for stopping by.
Thank you for having me, man.
Until next time, Bear Nation, stay well. Bear Nation, once again, thank you for listening to the Bear Necessities of Entrepreneurship. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review. And until next time, take care.